Someone else tonight?
Anyone else?
All right. John chapter 19 is where we'll be tonight. John chapter 19. Like I said this morning, we are getting closer to Easter. I like to look at some of the things that led up to Calvary. And this morning we talked about the betrayal. And tonight I want to talk about the final trial before Pilate. So we're almost going from the beginning to the end, just before the cross. There, I'm telling you, there's a lot in between, and I'm so thankful for His Word. But like I said this morning, the story of Jesus is real, you know, and it's not a pretty story. It's an ugly story, leading up to the crucifixion and the crucifixion itself. And it's, sometimes we try to gloss it over, and we don't think of how brutal and how bloody and how just it was a method of torture that it was. But He did all that for you and I. That's what amazes me, that God would do that for us. You know, we in this country, there is no cruel and unusual punishment. They have to be so careful, even when they execute someone that's guilty. And you think about there was no care like that for executing the innocent Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you, He really does love us. But so just to get us up to speed, remember this morning was the betrayal, and He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They led Him away to Annas, and they asked Jesus of His doctrine, and Jesus told them that, listen, I spoke everything out in the public. You know, I didn't hide anything. You know everything that I said. I didn't say anything in secret. That's what Jesus told them. There are no secret words from God, by the way. There are no secret messages and hidden prophecies or anything like that. If you want to know about Jesus Christ, it's right here in this book right here. And so I'm thankful for that. But then they take Him from Annas to Caiaphas, and that's where Peter denies Him three times. And there they try to find witnesses against Jesus, false witnesses, but none of their stories could match up. And then they just flat out ask Him, "Art thou the Son of God?" And He says, "Ye say that I am." And then they condemn Him without any witnesses at night. So we know that was not something they could do. That you could find somebody innocent the same day as the trial, but you could not find somebody guilty and sentence them to death the same day. But they didn't care about the law, when it went against their plan. We know that. And so then Judas tries to return the 30 pieces of silver. The chief priests reject him. They say it's blood money. You know, how ironic. They were able to give it, but they wouldn't take it back. And then he throws the money on the ground and he hangs himself. And then the Bible says that with that money, they didn't put it in the treasury, but they bought the potter's field to bury strangers therein today, which was also a fulfillment of prophecy. So then Jesus goes before Pilate the first time, and he asks Jesus if he has any defense. You know what? State your defense, basically. And Jesus never said a word. And Pilate marveled at that. He marveled that he was just like a lamb to the slaughter, as dumb, just like Isaiah said he would be, because he's God. So then Pilate tries to send him off to Herod, because he finds out he's a Galilean. Herod's in town, and Herod's excited that he's coming, because he had heard a lot of things. Herod was hoping he could see a magic trick, a miracle out of him, and he was so disappointed. Jesus said nothing to Herod either, and he has returned back to Pilate. So that is where we get to John 19. We'll start in verse 4. It says this: Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, this is the crowd, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto him, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he have made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went in again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and the power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd use me to be able to preach. Lord, help us to be able to listen and to understand what your word has for us tonight. Lord, you're such a good God, and we're thankful that you're among us tonight. Lord, because we've gathered in your name. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn. Draw us closer to you. Get us ready for this Easter. And Lord, let it not be a routine, but Lord, let it be just a renewed amazement of your grace and your mercy and your sacrifice in our place. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
One of the things that you see several times in this passage, but also in the chapter before, is that Pilate says this about Jesus, John 18:38, when he was first brought before Pilate and asked whether he was a king. John 18:38, Pilate said, "I find in him no fault at all." And then in verse 4, the first verse we read tonight, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then in verse 6 in our passage, "Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." 3 times Pilate said he was innocent. He was completely innocent. He couldn't find any crime that Jesus had committed. And I'm here to tell you, you could examine Jesus' life, and they would have examined everything that he said, everything that he did. You think politicians are watched closely? The chief priests and scribes and everyone, when they hated him, when they wanted him dead, you better believe they watched every word he said. Many times in the gospel they tried to trap him in his words, but over and over again Jesus, never a man spake like this man, and there was no guile found in his mouth. You know, Romans 5:12 sums it up by this: "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there's Jesus standing alone, the sinless Son of God. He was perfect. He fulfilled every scripture, every bit of the law, and completely fulfilled the Father's will for his life. That's why he was an acceptable sacrifice. This Pilate had the power to release him. You know, he said that to him, and he kept trying to get out of it, saying, "I can't find any fault in him." But yet he wouldn't let him go. He was innocent. So there he is in verse 4 and 5. He brings him out. He's got a crown of thorns. And you know, by this point, Jesus had been punched. He had been beaten. He had been spit upon in the trial before. And when I said in Annas and Caiaphas, they did that. In between, he'd been scourged. He'd been whipped. Then Pilate's soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head. They spit on him and they hit him with a reed after they mocked him and said he was king. So there he is. This is innocent Jesus that Pilate is bringing out to the mob that had been beaten and whipped so badly that he was barely recognizable, the Bible said. And there Pilate says, "Behold the man." You know, I think he was hoping for the easy way out that day. He was hoping that if they saw how bloodied and beat up and how they had just worked him over throughout all this time. He hadn't slept the night before. Remember, he'd been up all night from the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the next morning, probably 6 a.m. And there he is bleeding. And I don't even know how he was able to stand at this point, you know, with the blood and the trauma and everything. everything else. And he's showing them, look, hasn't he suffered enough? Is kind of what he's getting at. You know, why don't we just let him go? He's innocent. But all that did was work to rev up the crowd and get them to cry even louder. Crucify him. Crucify him. You see that? This is what fallen man did, right? That's what sin-filled man did, is they let the only sinless man to ever live. Remember, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And what they did is they rejected him. They wanted him dead. And this earth, they had a choice with Jesus Christ. They could have crowned him the rightful king. He did deserve to be king. It wasn't God's timing, but he deserved it. But instead of crowning him as the true king, they crucified him, is what they wanted. Pilate tries to shift the responsibility to them. You see that, in verse 6, he tries to say, you take him, you crucify him. That's what he's saying in verse 6. Shift the responsibility. You do it since you want it so badly. But here's the thing. We can't shift our responsibility. We can't shift the responsibility with Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. And you either have it, you either accept Jesus, you either ask him for forgiveness of sins, and he forgives you and you have a relationship, or you reject Jesus. I can't accept him for you, and you can't accept him for me. It's a personal relationship. And that's what Pilate's trying to get out of it. You crucify him. Although he couldn't get out of it. So then it goes on. It goes on a little further, and there's more questioning, and he's saying, I find no fault in him, and they're saying, listen, that they know that they can't, if they had the power to do that, they would have, but they weren't allowed. And then in verse 7, he ought to die by our law because he made himself the Son of God. Verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was more afraid. See, he was already a little bit afraid of putting an innocent man to death. But now, there's a possibility that this man could have been sent by God and could have been God. And he was now really beginning to be afraid. See, it was all fun and games when they were mocking Jesus, right? When they were saying he was king, when they're plaiting the crown of thorns on his head and the purple robe and hitting him and asking, who hit me? Prophesy, Jesus, who hit you? Now that he's claiming to be the Son of God, now it's all different. Because remember, Pilate's a Roman. And they had these Roman gods and superstitions and everything else. And he's really wanting to get out of it. And he's questioning Jesus, whence art thou? Where'd you come from? But Jesus gave no answer. And this is one of the things that shocked Pilate to the core, is that he had had many men in front of him that have been accused of many crimes over the years. And all of them pled their defense. All of them tried to get out of it. But there stood Jesus, calm, reserved, silent, unafraid, and looking him in the eye. He had endured the scourging, the mocking, the beating, and he never uttered a word of defense. He could have gotten out of it, but he never did, because he knew what needed to be done. So there's Pilate, looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ. He's really looking into the eyes of God. And you know what he doesn't see? See, many of those criminals would have been bitter. They would have been hated the fact that they were caught. Not mad at what they did, but mad that they're caught. Mad that they have to face the punishment. Just like we see today. A lot of these criminals, there's not much remorse. They're just angry that they can't keep doing it. But here is Pilate looking at a different man, staring into the eyes of God. Doesn't see bitterness and hatred, but he sees an innocent man, and he sees something that he hasn't seen before, and that's love.
Yeah.
He sees love. And then as you read, you know, you think about this book, you look at the Gospels, you look at the Bible, that's what you see throughout every page, is the love of God. In the love, Jesus had compassion on this world, compassion on sinners. He loves us more than anyone else on this world. And even though people deny him, even though people take his name in vain, even though people are ashamed of him and everything else and ignore him, he's still there and he still loves the world and he still loves sinners. It's amazing. It's amazing that God would do that. But that's who he is. He was willing to die for even Pilate. And Pilate's staring into his eyes, trying to figure out what he's going to do and how he can get out of it. So he pressures him a little harder, tries to get Jesus to make his defense, tries to bully him because he's the governor, right? He's in power. Verse 10, and Pilate saith unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee? He's saying, listen, I'm in charge here, right? He's almost saying this, almost worried, trying to convince himself, right? I have the power here. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You know, Jesus tells him, Pilate, you saying that you are in power, but the only reason you're in power is because it came from heaven. That's the only reason any leadership is in power, any government's in power, and that should scare us a little bit. Sometimes there are good kings and sometimes there are bad kings and rulers. But God said, I gave the authority. Pilate's authority came from Caesar, but Jesus said, Caesar's authority came from me. And you're going to be held accountable for everything that you do. So I want you to think about this scene. You got the bloodied, bruised, tired, beaten, whipped Jesus Christ staring into the Roman governor's eyes, the one who had all the power, or so he thought, over Jerusalem and that area. Jesus, the alleged criminal, is telling him, you've already beaten an innocent man that you keep calling innocent, but you're about to do something even worse than that. And he's completely honest. He says, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus tells Pilate that you're sinning right now. You've already sinned in beating, having an innocent man beat. But you're going to be doing something even worse. You're sinning. He tells him, but you know what? The ones that delivered me to you committed a greater sin. Right? Judas betrayed Jesus Christ to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas betrayed Jesus Christ to Pilate, and that's how he got there. But there, I think about it. Jesus is there speaking with the judge who has to render a verdict. But one day, Hebrews 9:27, and it says, and it is, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You know, one day the roles will be reversed. Pilate will be standing there before Jesus one more time. But in this time, the roles will be reversed. There will be Jesus the judge and Pilate the one that's being judged. Everyone in this world will have to be judged. I'll tell you what. I want to be judged with Jesus already on my side and Him already forgiving me of my sins than stand before Jesus, having walked right over top of the blood of the cross, doing my own thing and rejecting Him, because that leads to hell. But the same is true for all of us today. We judge Jesus here on this earth, don't we? We judge Him. What are we going to do with Him? What are we going to do with the gospel? Do we accept Him as God? Do we trust by faith? And do we call out to Him? Do we admit that we're a sinner? Do we live by faith? Do we do what the Bible tells us to do? Do we trust God? See, we're judging God with our lives and our actions and our words and how we, in salvation, we're judging Jesus. But one day we will stand before the judge. The roles will be reversed for all of us. Amen. And there he's trying Pilate over and over again to get out of it. Verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. You know, the Jews knew something that day. They had already levied a religious charge against Jesus. They said he's claiming to be God, the Son of God. And that wasn't enough for Pilate. But now they're giving a political charge, aren't they? Pilate, if you let him go, he's saying he's king. They're claiming he's king. If you let him go, there is a king, your boss, that's Caesar. You won't be a friend of Caesar. He's saying anyone who rebels against Caesar is in trouble. And you know what Caesar would have said? If anyone is truly rebelling and anyone is proclaiming to be king, as Pilate, as the governor, he was to take swift action. He was to arrest that person and to crucify them. That's what he was supposed to do. If it was a real murderer. But now they're calling him out and saying, listen, what are you going to do? He said he's king. Your job is to follow King Caesar. What are you going to do? And we see Pilate was more afraid of Caesar than he was of God. That happens a lot too. People are more afraid of men and women on this earth than they are of Almighty God. That's what we saw. Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but Pilate sold him out so he could keep his job as governor. That's what we see here. 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. Verse 14, it was the preparation of the Passover. About the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. So now he's trying it again. Come on. Trying to get out of it. 15, but they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. You know, when Pilate brought him out, he was just trying to get out of this. He was in a bad spot, but he was weak. He should have stood up to the crowd. He should have let an innocent man go, but he was weak. He was afraid. He was afraid they would tell Caesar and he would lose his job and maybe even his life over it. He was afraid. But you know, when he stood up there and said, behold your king, he didn't plan on it that day. He didn't plan on any of this that day. Oh, but Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. It was already prophesied that it would happen. There he was. And you think about Jesus fulfilling prophecy after prophecy through the Old Testament, and those Jewish leaders, those chief priests, those scribes, those lawyers that were experts in the law and scripture, they were so blinded by their hatred against Jesus Christ that they ignored every single prophecy that Jesus fulfilled that pointed to that he was the true Messiah. They ignored the scriptures so they could fulfill their own selfish desires. And I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous thing that people fall into today. They have their own version of Jesus, so they create their own Jesus. Just like they had their own version of the Messiah, and they created it themselves. They continued on and sent him all the way to the cross. So there, Pilate's question, shall I crucify your king? They said, we have no king but Caesar. The Jews hated Rome. The Romans occupied their land. They hated Pilate. They hated the government and the governor. They hated Caesar. And in fact, they'll in the future, they will fight against Rome several times. And they would have never pledged allegiance to Caesar. But you know what had happened before this? Remember, they'd been given a choice. It was a custom. You free one of the two prisoners. Remember? Barabbas or Jesus. And remember, they chose Barabbas. You know what he was guilty of doing? He was guilty of insurrection and murder. He was trying to literally overthrow the Roman government. And he killed somebody in the process, probably a Roman soldier. And he was arrested. And he was the one that would have been crucified that day instead of Jesus in the middle. So do you see what happened? They chose a man that rebelled against Caesar to be freed so that they could accuse Jesus, an innocent man, and tell Pilate, if you let him go, you'll be supporting rebellion against Caesar. Isn't that what the world does? Their logic makes no sense to get rid of Jesus Christ, right? It makes no sense. They'll tell us to trust science, and then when science says there's only two genders, then they say, well, don't trust that part, right? Trust this or trust that, and then it comes down to it just being ridiculous. I tell you what, this world's messed up. They've got so much knowledge, just like the Bible said, increased with knowledge, yet this world is getting dumber by the minute.
They can't. They ignore history, acting as if we'll change something. They ignore the Bible as if it won't be true. And I'm here to tell you, every sentence, every jot, every tittle, every letter will be fulfilled, regardless of what the devil tries to do, regardless of what the world leaders try to do, regardless of what science tries to do, or political correctness, or the morality of the day. It doesn't matter. This word will stand true because God said it would be true, and He is eternal, and He is forever, and it will never change.
Amen. They wanted. The truth was, they just hated Jesus because they hated the truth. They hated His love, and they hated the fact that He told them what they didn't want to hear. He wasn't the Messiah that they wanted and they had dreamt up, and they wanted Him dead. But Pilate had a chance to make it right and judge righteously, but he didn't. He was a coward. And he gave in. And he appeased the mob. See what he tried to do? He tried every step of the way. Maybe if I just beat him, that'll be enough to appease them. But no, the mob was never satisfied until he was dead. And I'm here to tell you, that is why we will never compromise at this church. We are not going to compromise on the Word of God, because once you start doing that, have you ever noticed what happens when churches compromise and so-called pastors and religious leaders compromise with this world? This world demands more and more and more. They're never satisfied until you've dropped every bit of truth, every bit of the name of Jesus, and it just comes up with just a made-up religion that has no power and nothing left.
That's right.
That's this world. It was true that day. It's still true today.
Right.
We can't compromise. This world will always force you to give up everything, and they're never satisfied. You want another example that's easy? Go look at the nation of Israel. What did they keep telling them over and over and over again? You need to give up more land, give up more land, give up more land. I'll tell you what, if they gave up another spot of land, they would not be satisfied. They'd say, we want more land and more land and more land till there was none left.
This world's never satisfied.
And then you get down to verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Between this morning and tonight, you see the reality leading up to the cross. It was full of men that cared more about themselves than cared about the truth. Cared more about their job than cared about the Son of God. Yet, what do you see Jesus doing? Telling them the truth, giving them space to repent, and then several hours later, hanging on the cross, He's going to yell and He's going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't understand that. But that's Jesus. That's the real Jesus. And I don't understand why people want to invent their own Jesus when the real one is so much better. The Jesus I invent wouldn't be as merciful as the real Jesus. The Jesus I invent wouldn't be as powerful as the real Jesus. He's the one we need. And He's a good God. Even in the midst of traitors and cowards and liars, there He is. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking about those in the general area. He was talking about everybody. He wasn't just talking about that day where He was on the cross. Those words are still in our Bibles and it still rings true today. Even if we closed it up and nobody ever repeated Jesus' words again or read it again, it still rings true today. In fact, those words are still up in heaven. And when we get there, the only reason you and and I will be able to enter into heaven is because Jesus hung on the cross and He died for our sins. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the only reason we are going to be able to enter in. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He did. And I say praise God for that. I don't know how He endured the cross and He despised the shame, but if the Bible says He did it for the joy that was set before Him. I don't understand it, but I say thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight. What a God. What a Savior. What a gospel. What a promise. That's what this world needs today.